a slow start to the week for millions of people.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Well, there are still millions without power in the Northeast this morning after that Oktober storm that hit over the weekend. Passengers on a JetBlue plane were stranded on a tarmac in Hartford, Connecticut for 7 hours. Many flights to New York's airports were diverted to Hartford, overwhelming the airport's infrastructure. If you think that's bad, consider the plight of Qantas passengers this morning. The Australian airline just ended a strike that grounded all planes, stranding 100,000 passengers around the world. Reporter Stuart Cohen joins us now from Sydney, Australia, with the details. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, what's it like now? Has the problem been solved, or is it still pretty bad?
Well, it's still going to be a lot of waiting around. Internationally, around 22,000 passengers were stranded. Many are stuck in L.A. and still face delays in getting overseas, and Americans in Australia are facing delays getting home. But there are also other airlines that fly the same route, so at least American travelers have other options.
How did this shutdown come about, Stuart? It seems pretty dramatic to shut down the entire Qantas system.
Yeah, well, Qantas has been locked in months-long contract negotiations with three of its biggest unions. They've been staging a series of work stoppages over the past few months. Qantas's CEO, Alan Joyce, said that was costing the airline about $2 million a day. So instead of letting Qantas, as he put it, die the death of a thousand cuts, he took the rather bold step of grounding the airline to force the issue to a head. And it worked. It took just a few hours before the prime minister stepped in and referred the dispute to the country's labor arbitration board. They fast-tracked it, and by late Sunday night, not much more than 24 hours after it all began, they issued an order putting an end to the whole dispute.
Reporter Stuart Cohen joining us from Sydney, Australia. Thanks, Stuart.
You're welcome, Jeremy.
Well, here in this country today, prices are going up at Redbox DVD rental kiosks from $1 to $1.20. But as Sally Herships reports, Redbox better be careful not to alienate customers like its rival Netflix just did when it raised prices.
Netflix and Redbox are video apples and oranges. Netflix offers a library of movies and TV. Redbox, only new films. Netflix requires membership, and Redbox is pay-as-you-go. The question is, will customers punish Redbox as much for its price hikes?
They will care. They'll look at this as opportunistic.
That's consumer psychologist Kit Yarrow. She says for new customers and spur-of-the-moment purchases, 20 cents isn't a big deal. But when Netflix raised prices, it lost members, some, to Redbox. For those rental refugees, the price hike can be a sore subject.
That they switched over from Netflix and now Redbox is cashing in.
Redbox says this is the first time it's raised prices for DVDs in 8 years. It's passing on costs from a new law that allows debit card companies to charge businesses more for small purchases. The company is hoping to smooth the transition. It's offering a one-month promotion. Certain video rentals at the current $1 price. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower across Europe and Asia this morning, down about 1.2% in London right now, 1.4% lower in Frankfurt. The troubled securities firm MF Global here in this country is reportedly in a desperate hunt for a buyer this morning. The company, which is run by former New Jersey Senator and Governor John Corzine, saw its stock price and credit rating collapse last week thanks to heavy bets on European debt. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow inched up 22 points to close at 12,231.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. And by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
Well, we just did the numbers, and now it's time to dissect the numbers with a quiz about global stock markets. So let's bring in our quiz master, Stefan Richter. He's editor-in-chief at TheGlobalist.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Ready for today's quiz?
I am ready.
All right. Everybody knows Wall Street. And we also hear every morning when we wake up or when we go to bed about the stock markets in other countries, Germany, UK, China.
Yep.
What about our home market? What percentage of the world's total stock market capitalization, all stocks value, still is in the United States today? Is it A, 70%? Is it just about half? That will be 50%, of course. Is it C, a little under half, say 40%? Or is it at this time just a quarter, 25%, the way markets have gone down, of course?
Okay, well, I am going to go with just about half. I think in the financial markets, we're still, I would say, 50%.
You're close, but not quite right. 50% is a little too high, actually, because if the flight to safety continues, of course, out of emerging markets and, ironically, into the U.S. dollar, not that we feel so safe here these days, then it would be 50%. But that's not where we're at anymore. That's a little in history.
Then I've got to go with C, a little under half, 40%.
That is absolutely correct. We are at 40%, but here's my bonus question for you. That 40%, is that higher or the same level as what the U.S. in a totally different but very important field, global defense spending, accounts for? Is our stock market share globally in line with our defense share?
No way, Stefan. We've got to be probably about 70% with our defense.
Not quite. Stock market capitalization, the U.S. share, and the U.S. share of global defense spending are both around 40%, which makes it pretty astounding in terms of a world of parallels.
Stefan Richter is the editor-in-chief of The Globalist. We'll see you next time, Stefan.
All righty. Bye-bye.
And finally, to a pizza dispute in Lake City, Florida. Back on October 20th, a Papa John's there was destroyed in a fire. Police are charging two men who happened to be the managers of the local Domino's. According to officials, one of the men said he thought with the Papa John's out of the way as competition, more pizza lovers would flock to Domino's. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Farm workers go where the work is, so they never really know where they live.
Before the center existed, I would start to worry 2 or 3 months before I needed to return to Napa. Where will I live? The difference now is that if I come here, there's a place for me to live.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Farm workers find shelter next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.